This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. JNSPG staff will read synopses of articles which have been published online this week. The full text versions of these articles can be found in the online and print versions of the journal.
Hello, and welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for June 18th, 2010. I'm Jillian Shasby, and I will be reading synopses of three clinical articles and one laboratory investigation, published online today by the Journal of Neurosurgery. This clinical article is titled, Seizures in Patients with Glioma, Treated with Phenytoin and Levetiracetam. It was written by Ryan Morell and colleagues. Seizures are a common source of morbidity in patients with glioma. First-generation anti-epileptic drugs, such as phenytoin, have been the traditional therapy for these patients, but are known to cause a high incidence of side effects and may alter the metabolism of chemotherapeutic agents and corticosteroids. These factors complicate patient care and the development of novel therapies. Second-generation anti-epileptic drugs, such as levetiracetam, have few side effects and no known drug interactions. While gaining increasing favor in neuro-oncology practices, there are no reports comparing their efficacy and tolerability with first-generation anti-epileptic drugs. The authors compared seizure outcomes and side effects in patients with glioma who were treated either with phenytoin or levetiracetam. There were no differences between the treatment groups when comparing time to second seizure or second seizure rates, or compared with postoperative and overall seizure frequency. With the use of levetiracetam, the incidence of side effects was reduced by 70%, and the need for dose adjustments not related to seizure breakthrough was reduced by 72%. The authors conclude that levetiracetam appears to be a safe, effective, and preferred alternative for postoperative and long-term seizure management in patients with glioma. The equal efficacy of levetiracetam, a more favorable side effect profile, and a reduced need to make dose adjustments simplifies patient care and eligibility considerations for clinical trials. This clinical article is titled, A Retrospective Cohort-Matched Comparison of Conscious Sedation versus General Anesthesia for Supratentorial Glioma Resection. It was written by Pierpaolo Peruzzi and colleagues. Craniotomies performed while a patient is under conscious or awake sedation are generally reserved for lesions located in eloquent areas of the brain. In this study, the authors retrospectively analyzed data in patients who underwent craniotomy for resection of supratentorial diffuse gliomas under conscious sedation. The comparison group consisted of a cohort matched for variables known to affect outcomes, such as tumor size, patient age, patient functional status, tumor grade, and extent of tumor resection. Patients undergoing an awake craniotomy were found to have a significantly shorter hospital stay, and consequently lower hospital costs, compared with patients undergoing the same procedure with general anesthesia. The sample size was too small to determine differences in postoperative neurological deficits, although there was a trend towards a lower incidence of new postoperative neurological deficits, resulting in a decreased need for postoperative inpatient rehabilitation. These findings justify a prospective randomized study to determine if craniotomy under conscious sedation in patients with supratentorial gliomas results in a decreased hospital stay, lower expenses, and perhaps improved neurological outcomes as compared with craniotomy under general anesthesia. This clinical article is titled, Neurosurgical Rotations or Clerkships in United States Medical Schools. It was written by Benjamin Fox and colleagues. Educating medical students is at the core of academic medicine and is a responsibility that all academic neurosurgeons should embrace. However, few medical students are exposed to neurosurgery rotations and clerkships. The authors of this article conducted a questionnaire-based study to better understand the current status of neurosurgical clerkships and the involvement of neurosurgeons. Two questionnaires were designed and distributed, one to every neurosurgery course director of United States neurosurgery residency programs, and one to the Associated Parent Medical School Dean's Office. The response rate was excellent, 86 of 99 course directors and 64 of 91 dean's offices responded. The results confirmed that few medical students are participating in neurosurgical clerkships. Nearly every United States medical school has an average annual enrollment in excess of 100 medical students. However, 62% of course directors reported that fewer than 10 students complete their clerkships per year. 33% reported that fewer than 5 complete their clerkships. The results of this study also call into question the quality of teaching and of evaluation of medical students. Most neurosurgical clerkships do not provide didactic lectures, a syllabus, educational handouts, or a recommended textbook. Few have objective methods of evaluating student performance, as 92% use subjective performance evaluations to grade their students. The authors also found that clerkships may be offered too late to medical students. Neurosurgical clerkships are primarily offered to fourth-year students, and only 33% offer these courses to third-year students. The fourth year may be too late for appropriate timing of residency applications. This article includes an extensive discussion of the impediments and benefits of teaching neurosurgery to medical students, and offers tips on improving neurosurgery rotations. The authors conclude that there is significant room for improvement and hope that academic neurosurgeons will embrace this challenge. This laboratory investigation is titled Non-Thermal Irreversible Electroporation for Intracranial Surgical Applications. It was written by Thomas Ellis and colleagues. In this paper, the authors report the first systematic in vivo study of irreversible electroporation in canine brain tissue. Irreversible electroporation is a new non-thermal focal tissue ablation technique that uses low-energy electric pulses to destabilize cell membranes, thus achieving tissue death. The procedure is minimally invasive and is performed through small electrodes inserted into the tissue with a treatment duration of about 1 minute. The authors confirmed that the procedure can be applied safely in the brain and was clinically well tolerated in normal dogs. The necrotic lesions created with irreversible electroporation were submillimeter in resolution, and they were sharply delineated from the normal brain. The treatment also spared major blood vessels due to its non-thermal mechanism of tissue ablation. The minimal heat generation during treatment and sparing of major blood vessels may make irreversible electroporation appropriate for the treatment of tumors adjacent to or enveloping critical vascular structures. Incorporating irreversible electroporation with current stereotactic guidance systems may also make it suitable for treating deep-seated, well-circumscribed brain tumors. The authors believe that irreversible electroporation will play a key role in the treatment of intracranial disorders in which the intent is to focally kill undesired tissue while minimizing damage to surrounding healthy tissue.
Thank you for listening. Sign up in iTunes to get all our weekly podcasts delivered straight to you. To read all the articles published by the JNSPG this week, or to visit our podcast archive, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.